Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hour number two, John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Warriors This Week until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Kicking around some of the NBA rumors and reports here as the Warriors fresh off a victory last night. That's right, in case you missed it.
Yeah.
The Warriors winning in Chicago, 100-98. Now 5-19 on the season. Nice night for Glenn Robinson III. And the Warriors, if they can do one thing this year, it is beat the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. They sweep the season series against Chicago. And now out of the cellar in the NBA reverse standings in terms of the lottery positioning, the New York Knicks, who fired David Fizdale yesterday, they are now 4-18 and at the bottom or at the top, depending upon how you look at it. I guess if it's the reverse standings.
You and your reverse standings.
You want to be at the top.
Yeah.
Of those.
The looking glass with John Dickinson.
It's just where they are. It's just where they are. And you have to try and find some kind of positive in, you know, what is, you know, I don't want to say a lost season necessarily, because I was one of the first ones to, you know, going back to July and the opening of free agency, I said, hey, this could wind up being a 16-month off season. That was kind of how I put it, you know, June to October, 16-month off season, meaning October of 2020, where things could go awry. But if you use that 16 months effectively, you could be right back in championship contention next year. And look, here we are.
Well, you talked about some NBA rumors, but when it comes to Kevin Love, this is not a rumor. Woj reporting that the Cavs are finally ready to hear offers for Kevin Love. So that's not just speculation. That's a report from Woj. So I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just asking the question. We know that a couple years ago, the Warriors were considering Klay for Kevin Love, and fortunately, Jerry West presumably said, you know, that's really dumb, you shouldn't do that. But now, the Cavaliers, ready to hear offers for Kevin Love. Is he somebody the Warriors should be even considering on any level?
Positionally, I think he'd be a fit, although, and we were just...
He didn't like to play center,
although he would, you know, have to be a stretch five for the Warriors. His skill set, I do think, fits. His contract is not. However, and look, you know, Kevin Love making $28.9 million this year, $31.2 million the next 2 years, and then $28.9 million again in the 2022-23 season. So he's got three more years after the remainder of this season.
Yeah.
That, to me, is an automatic pass.
Kevin Love is 31. He's been injury-prone, although this year he's having a nice year. And he's owed, what, more than $120 million.
Yeah, I like Kevin Love the player, but Kevin Love at 31 and then 32, 33, 34 in the final year of that deal at $28.9 million, that just doesn't do it for me, even though positionally and skill set-wise he may be a fit. If I'm the Warriors, I'm hanging on to my assets. And look, we'd be really talking about D'Angelo Russell if we're talking about, you know, taking on somebody like that. It would be, you know, D'Angelo Russell for Kevin Love. No, I'm going to keep D'Angelo Russell, the 23, 24-year-old player.
Or I'm going to
get
something else, more valuable
I'm hanging on to him, the asset, at that point.
Well, I'm in favor.
Whether he
in
stays with the team or winds up getting you somebody else. But no, I would not, based on the age and the salary, consider Kevin Love to be a fit for the Warriors.
You asked the question, do you want to hang on to the pick or do you want to trade it for a star? And it's really difficult to answer because we're not sure exactly who we're talking about. And it all comes down to the specifics. But Given the parameters of what we know, I think it would behoove the Warriors to hang on to the pick, assuming it's a high pick. I'm talking a top three pick, because that gives them a path towards finding a bright young star potentially who can help bridge the gap between, you know, Clay, Steph, and Draymond, and maybe a new era.
Yeah, and I just...
Which is still a ways off, I know, but drafting a young player and having develop into a star with your team, I think, would go a long ways towards helping with that
I think
progression.
To me, the only way you keep the pick is if you believe that you have a player that 100% will be a star and at some point in the next 3 or 4 years would be your best player and would be... With Curry and Clay declining, would that player at some point, let's say 3 years from now or two seasons from now, you throw out this season, you know, by 2022-23, would that player be your best player in his third season, let's say? Would he be your best player and you still have Steph and Clay and Draymond as pretty good players, but beyond their prime, a la, let's say, the San Antonio Spurs when they had Duncan and Parker and Ginobili, and then Kawhi Leonard was their best player, and they were able to win a championship with the three still good enough to help them
model.
Get over the hump.
Yeah, that's a good model.
But you have to believe that you have that player is that guy in his third year, let's say. But you also have to believe that he can help you contend for championships his first 2 years. And that's where, to me, I look at it, and I would get greedy, I think, if I'm the Warriors. I would get greedy and try and package the pick or just trade the pick for some kind of a player that fits the window of now. You've got a shot to maybe win two more championships if you make all of the right moves in 2021 and 2022.
That's pretty ambitious, talking about two more championships already.
At least contending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's crazy. I know there are some out there, and you know, the window's closed, right? The window is closed. It's over. It's done. You know, they can't get back to that level. You know, I think you're not. And to me, it depends less about Curry and Clay and Draymond and more about who you get. Because I don't think Russell's that guy. I don't think D'Angelo Russell's that guy. I don't think he's the fourth. He's the piece. Oh yeah, you win it. You know, I don't think you're winning a championship with those three.
I agree
and D'Angelo
with you.
Russell.
Why not? I agree with you, but why not?
The way he has to function takes too much away from the others. And he's too ball dominant. He's too bad defensively.
I agree.
He just isn't, you know, if in a perfect world, he'd be a sixth man, but do you really want him being a sixth man?
And does he really want to be a sixth man?
Making 27, working his way up in terms of, you know, contract? No, to me, you don't want that. And do you want him with Curry and Clay? I don't like that. As what's your finishing lineup? You know, those three and Draymond and, you know, Kevon Looney. You know, I think the Warriors would like to see that maybe a little bit. But to me, if you're the Warriors, and 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, to me, you get greedy and you try to see what you could do short term with Russell and the pick. And you see if you can find somebody else that can come in and get you back to a championship level with Curry and Clay and Draymond still on the back end of your prime. I'm not waiting around.
Look, what they say in baseball is flags fly forever. You win a pennant, you win a World Series, it's worth it, whatever it takes to get there. But obviously there's no guarantee with your approach that you're going to win a championship.
No.
And the risk there is that all of a sudden you just... Whoop, you drop off the cliff and your whole team gets old, and then you're facing an honest-to-goodness rebuild in a couple of years, which I don't think the Warriors want. Nobody wants that.
No, but if you're contending for championships for a couple of more years, I do think it's worth it. Although your scenario that you paint out...
Ideally, you're doing both.
But that's why I don't go Kevin Love.
Yeah.
That's exactly why Kevin Love wouldn't be a part of the equation for me. But yeah, ideally you do both, but the only way both is going to work... Like, I could see you may get a star with that draft pick, but he takes you away from being able to win a championship because he just isn't good enough of a player yet. And maybe to where you can win in the next 2 years, let's say. Because, look, what you're gearing up for right now is, you know, the Lakers look like, and look, the Lakers are not a young team. That, you know, Anthony Davis is a young piece. The Lakers are a young team. The Lakers might be a one and done.
I know.
The Lakers might get it in this year while the Warriors are down, and then they have to deal with LeBron being older, and maybe they keep Davis, but they're trying to build it more around Davis, and Davis isn't quality enough star on his own without LeBron playing at a certain level for them to get it done. So I think you could, you know, pass them almost two ships in the night. You know, the Lakers get one more championship, and then the Warriors kind of cross them on their way back up, and the Lakers are on the way back down. Clearly, the Clippers are going to be in it. They believe they've got the ability to contend for a championship, and if they fall short this year, they'll figure out a way to get back in it next year. Milwaukee with Giannis is another team in the conversation. But beyond that, and look, a lot can change, I don't see another team that's a legit contender or pencils out to be a contender without a drastic move. I think the Warriors could very easily, very easily with health, be right back in the top, let's say, five of the NBA next year, just based on the fact of what they can do and the fact that I'm not sold on a lot of these other teams and their sustainability at that level.
You may be right, but we just don't know yet. We're making so many assumptions on who they could bring in. We just don't know. I'll say this. If they're able to get LaMelo Ball or Wiseman.
I just don't think LaMelo Ball helps you next year.
Or Anthony Edwards. I could see how they would do that. But here's my point. You know, the NBA, they reformed the lottery because they were trying to discourage teams from tanking, and it doesn't appear to be working. But look at the math of it. If you're one of the bottom three teams, you have as good a chance of anybody as getting the first pick. But you have a 14% chance. That's not very high.
No, it's not. It's why I'm inclined to think if you do anything, you use Russell to maybe try and get you something, and maybe, like, if there's a player you love, you take the player, because there's different ways you can look at it, right? You can look at it as you're going to use Russell to get a player in here that's a better fit than Russell, or to get a couple of role players that still function with Curry and Clay and Draymond, right? You could use Russell to facilitate that and make a pick if you love the player at that point in time. Or you could combine the two and maybe try to get a better player or a starting player and a couple of bench pieces. You could go that route as well. Either way, though, I lean toward try and maximize the next couple of years the best you can with health and with a player that maybe isn't on anybody's radar right now that comes available.
When you're talking about the Warriors and the chances of being a contender again next year, a lot of that hinges on Clay and Steph and how renewed they are after basically a year off, right? Or Steph's case, at least half a year off.
And I think you could make, I mean, look at LeBron James. Look at how much it's benefited him. You know, having, you know, injuries last year and then not being in the playoffs and coming back. I mean, LeBron looks fantastic. He looks as good as he's looked in the last two or three years.
Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, let's be honest, I know he's not a fan favorite in many ways, but you still don't have Kevin Durant. And he was pretty important to what the Warriors have done the last three, 4 years.
Yeah, you could make a case they don't win more than one championship without him.
And
you could make that case.
In any of these scenarios, there's no Kevin Durant, so who are you replacing him with, and how are you replacing what he brought you?
Well, there's no Kevin Durant, but again, there could be a much better core of role players than the Warriors had the last couple of years when they had Kevin Durant. Because, look, one of the myths about the Warriors was that they were this deep when the Warriors got Kevin Durant, strength in numbers was gone. And I know they kept the slogan around, and it was fun, and it fit a lot of narratives on a lot of nights where they were winning a lot of games. And look, it allowed Warriors fans to have an affinity for certain players. You know, but the reality is strength in numbers died when they added Kevin Durant. Strength in numbers
could be
back. I
hope Jonas Jerebko's not listening. You're going to offend him.
Strength in numbers could legitimately come back for the Warriors if they use the means that they have to acquire other players around. I mean, you could get a really good player that's a better fit than D'Angelo Russell. You could maybe get as many as three or four rotation players around Curry and Clay and Draymond Green. You could have a significantly better bench than you've had really at any point during this run, even going back to the 14-15 days.
I know, and I apologize because I said three or four years. Of course, Kevin Durant was here 3 years. But they won a couple championships, and so that's going to be really difficult to substitute. Yeah, having a better bench is nice, but there's one reason why the Warriors were willing to let so many bench players go to bring in Kevin Durant. And he delivered, right? So there's no way around that. At some point, if you want to win a championship again, you're going to have to replace what he brung you. And that ain't easy.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week. John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here on 95.7 The Game as we're with you until 1 o'clock talking all things Warriors and NBA. The other thought is, and you know, I know this is something our friend Matt Steinmetz has brought up from time to time, it's the notion that regardless of what the Warriors do, they have to find a player better than, let's say, one of the three stars.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about. Yeah.
Do they have to do that to win a championship, in your mind? Do they have to, let's say,
probably.
If you want to rank them, Steph, Clay, Draymond, 1, 2, 3. Let's just say Steph, Clay, Draymond, 1, 2, 3. Do they have to maybe not find a player better than Steph next year, but do they have to find a player that's just a better player than Draymond Green next year if they're going to have a chance to contend for a championship, be a top five team in the NBA?
Well, contending's one thing. I think to win a championship, they're going to have to find, I don't know, I'm splitting hairs here, better than those guys. They're going to have to find another guy who is comparable, another superstar player. Because again, like I said, you're losing Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's one of the best players in history.
Yeah.
Right? So you can go back and say, well, you know, 2015, the Warriors won. They didn't have Kevin Durant. 2016, they almost won. But that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
So those players, those three, are not the same. And maybe the year off will refresh.
But it would be 6 years. If you're saying that core three can win a championship, it would be 6 years in between the last time that core three won. And look, that team had Harrison Barnes, and they had Andrew Bogut, and they had a nice core of bench players.
You need another MP, major piece. Better than those three? I don't know, but you need another major piece.
Would an Iguodala level be a major piece?
No. You already had him, and bless him, he was phenomenal, but you're not. How are you going to be better than you were when you won championships?
Okay, no, I just wanted to clarify. I agree with that.
Iguodala.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying a player of Iguodala's ilk when you first got Iguodala is what I'm saying. No, you're saying you need better than that.
Yeah.
You're saying you would need a, you know, Paul George level player or somebody of that or no.
Well, I think it's possible if you hit the home run in the draft, maybe that is your guy, and maybe not right away. But certainly not right away, but still,
but see, that's
the guy to address that need.
That's where the timing gets in the way. Like to me, like now look, if you can get a player in the draft that wow, this guy's like immediately.
Right.
You know, this guy's great. Right off the bat and can help you win right off, you know, Donovan Mitchell, you know, comes in. You're like, wow, this guy's a really good player.
Would
not a perfect player, but
yeah.
Wow, this guy elevates you. You can win. You can get to the playoffs with this guy immediately.
Would you give me that Wiseman could be that player?
I don't know. I tend to view Wiseman more short term as a
project almost.
Yeah. And like a better fit just because of his position. I just think there's a development. Mental time for him that doesn't fit the timeline of the Warriors. Although you could make a case that a big man, because the Warriors have a 1, 2, and a 4, let's say you could make a case that a big man at that point would be able to provide more quickly.
I think so. I agree with that.
Then let's say a guard, or you bring in a wing or a guard, and there really aren't a lot of wings.
Although Anthony Edwards, and you've talked about this, Anthony Edwards could come in.
He might be the best of both.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep
heir apparent to Clay and Steph, or one of them.
Yeah, and heir apparent, again, somebody that would have to function as a sixth man, but be a damn good sixth man. Like, right away, be a damn good sixth man. You know, be almost like Donovan Mitchell from a couple of years ago coming off the bench.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know how, like, Lou Williams, I mean, comes to crunch time, he's been the sixth man of the year for how many years in a row, but when it comes to winning time, crunch time, he's on the floor, whether he's a sixth man or not.
Yeah, although, again, you're going to...
Iguodala is another example.
You'd have to have somebody that you would if he's going to be on the floor down the stretch, you'd have to and he's going to be a guard, then it's got to be somebody where you're comfortable with him and Curry and Clay all playing together. And I think that's where it also is a little bit of a trickier fit.
Bottom line, the problem with my approach is that that guy may not be available in the draft. The problem with your approach is that player may not be available, period.
I think there will be players available, though. But it's hard because, and we get Chilton Adebody text line. People say, hey, what about Andre Drummond? What about whoever? They're Blake Griffin's a guy that comes up, although I would stay away from him. I think he's more in the Kevin Love territory in terms of guy making a lot of money, getting a little bit older. So to me, it becomes a debate of, and the Chilton Adebody text line says this, it's the Warriors need solid pieces, not another star. And again, they're talking about the KD-less Warriors, but the KD-less Warriors didn't win a title in what will be 6 years from if they try to do it next year.
A long time ago.
And when they actually did. Because I know everybody acts like they won in 16. They didn't win in 16. They won in 15. They didn't win in 16.
They should have,
and there are reasons for it, but they didn't quite get over the hump in 16. And that was still when they were kind of taking the league by storm, and teams hadn't really caught up to the style of play at that particular point in time.
Mm-hmm.
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. 415 says we already have a good sixth man, Eric Paschal. Well, Eric Paschal's part of the mix. I don't know that Eric Paschal's a sixth man. He could be a finishing piece. He's definitely a rotation player. He's part of my new wave strength in numbers, I don't know that he's a sixth man.
All I'm saying is to win a championship, you have to somehow replace Kevin freaking Durant. And maybe it's not one guy, maybe it is a number of guys, but Kevin Durant is one of the best players we've ever seen. He's one of the best players in history. So I don't agree that with the notion that they don't need him, they won without him once. I don't think that makes a lick of sense right now.
What if you package D'Angelo Russell and, let's say, the pick, and you get four players back that are all rotational players?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe.
You get a starting three.
It depends who they are.
You get a starting three, you get a starting five, you get two bench players, and all of a sudden you've got a starting lineup filled out, and you've got Paschal, and you've got two other bench players at that point in time, and you've still got your trade exception. I mean, look, I've laid it out a bunch of times. Like, you could have 9-10 legitimate NBA players, and we're not even talking about Glenn Robinson and Kai Bowman and Alec Burks yet, because they're the 11th, 12th, 13th men on this hypothetical roster, and the reason they are because they have better freaking players above them on the depth chart. That's the team that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a team that is going to have four or five different pieces.
Quite a trade if you can swing it. But, and you've made this point. You know this. The last two times they won the championship, who is the MVP of the finals?
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
And I'm not saying that because I love Kevin Durant. He's the greatest. But, I mean, hello, he's phenomenal. And why didn't they win last year? Largely because Kevin Durant was hurt.
No, and it got to a point where could they have won a couple of games if Klay Thompson had been healthy? Maybe, and it looked like possibly, but no, they won because they had Kevin Durant. There's no doubt about it. But again, I think they were so deficient by comparison in terms of overall depth and talent level. They were a top heavy 4-star team that needed all 4 stars to be able to function and win a championship by the end of it. What I'm saying is, if you have 4 stars and maybe one other player you feel comfortable playing in Iguodala, because that's pretty much where the Warriors were at the end of last year, they had 5 players they really trusted, maybe 6 if you want to say Looney. They could go back. They could go from 5 or 6 players that you trust to 10 players that you trust and that are all pretty good. And I think that's how you have to offset it, because you may not be able to get that star. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Gary St. Jean joins us coming up. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right. A little on-air production meeting. 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors This Week. So we can't do Brian because we have Saint. Okay. Well, then we'll take Saint. Joining us now, the one and only Gary St. Jean, NBC Sports Bay Area. Of course, you see him on the pre and the post game on the TV side and the Warriors Weekly podcast with yours truly for 95.7 The Game. Hey,
Saint. He also has a babysitting business, I understand.
Yeah, we learned about that last time we had Saint on the show. Saint, what's up, buddy?
Well, John, Whitey just smiled at me when I came in this week to do the podcast with you. And just looked at me and they said, babysitting this weekend? Well, yes. This afternoon, William is coming over with my daughter, Emily, and that's why you guys were so kind to get me in the early slot today.
Yeah, we got you in the pre-babysitting slot to make sure everything goes smoothly for us and everything goes smoothly for Grandpa's babysitting service.
That's tremendous, Saint. Hey, Saint, where did the Warriors...
Hey, that's in the scouting report, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've really grown as a player now and as a coach.
Where did the Warriors' improved defense start last night, Coach?
Well, you know what, Whitey? They're more connected. We use the phrase that five guys are connected by a rope. And if you move, John and I move. And I really thought they really had a purpose on the defensive end last night. They rebounded well. And one of the things I thought they did extremely well, they didn't foul. They didn't get the opponent on the free throw line. Chicago had, I don't know, under 10 attempts, I want to say.
Five. They had five attempts,
five.
Coach.
It was five. Okay. And
they did take 43s, though.
That's true, John. But you know what? It just felt good, and I was really happy because the effort was there. And that was, again, a little setback the last game or two. But they really played, and I don't know how you guys felt. I thought the last 7 minutes when Draymond came in, he was like the orchestra leader. He was pointing out they were running that high pick and roll with Russell, running it from right to left, and then Draymond rolled to the basket. And that told Willie Cauley-Stein to be in the dunk position, which is about 8-10 feet, just a couple steps outside the lane. So when Stein's man goes to Draymond, when he catches in that slot, he's wide open for the dunk. And we all know there isn't a better big in the NBA that throws a lob pass than Draymond.
Yeah, and you look at the game-winning basket, I mean, that looked an awful lot like the old Warriors, right? It was Draymond playing the role of Draymond, but you had Russell in the Curry spot, and you had Glenn Robinson III in the Iguodala spot. I think the one thing you're starting to see, Saint, is as the Warriors get a little bit healthier, they're able to dial into that bag of tricks that's helped them over the course of the last few years win some of these games.
Yeah, could not agree with more with you, John. The Bulls and Jimmy Boylan, their strategy was to double-team Russell on the high pick. And one of the reasons we don't see wing pick and roll anymore is the changes in the pick, the what they call blue defense. They push everything to the baseline. So the sideline and the baseline are your ally. And what happens is the defense just loads up on you. So now we see middle pick and roll. When you double, like Chicago did, you're vulnerable because if Russell can make the pass to Draymond, it's then 4-on-3. And I like our odds when Draymond has the ball to make a good decision. So, that was textbook. And they, you know what? The last few minutes, guys, they stayed with that action because they knew they were going to draw the double team on Russell, and they really capitalized on it.
Saint, Willie Cauley-Stein had maybe his best game as a Warrior. What do the Warriors need from him the most, and how important is it for him to establish some consistency now?
Well, you know, Whitey, you're right, and I still want to see more on the defensive end and staying vertical, maybe block a few shots, get more defensive rebounds. That's where he can really help us. We are seeing good hands. I think they envisioned him with Clay and Steph and Draymond being a good pick-and-roll guy because he's got good hands, and he could finish and also be in that dunk spot if Draymond is the screener. Now, he made a couple fadeaways and all that kind of thing. I personally, I'd like to see him limit his dribbles. I don't think a big needs to take three dribbles across the paint. You're flirting with trouble with Smalls digging back on you. But it's progress. He looks more comfortable. And again, you got a lot of guys who've been hurt. And you just don't step out there and have perfect chemistry. They've got to play together. Russell's second game back, everyone's saying, well, geez, he only took seven shots. Well, they were all threes. He was the key point to their defense. They were doubling him, and he was a willing passer. So, but I do think Draymond was so key in the game.
Yeah, and that's the one thing you know, this week I was a little concerned about Saint, and I know we talked about it. It's when things start to go off the rails a little bit. I thought they really missed Draymond in the Atlanta game. Just missed his intelligence, his edge a little bit. And look, when you're competitive at a certain level against some of the better teams, you know, there starts to become this belief, well, you better beat some of the lesser teams, right, if you're really struggling. And I think, you know, there was a sense that maybe it was getting a little bit off the rails in the Atlanta game and the Charlotte game. So to have it bounce back and kind of look the way that it had previously with them able to finish it off and get a win, that's one of those that helps move your season forward, I think, in a positive light, isn't it?
Very, very well said. And they're flying home right now as we speak. I think they're landing around 1:00. And I think you probably got a bunch of guys that are taking a nap, but a bunch of happy guys. Maybe they're having sweet dreams because that was good stuff. And you need that veteran presence out there, the calming influence, the knowledge of how a play works. And that's what you get, you know, when you've got a Draymond Green. I know you guys saw the play, and it doesn't go on the stat sheet. Right around the free throw line, and with about 5 minutes left, he dove on a loose ball, snuck out a pass, down we went in transition. Then he was on D, and there was an errant pass. He was like the free safety. He went from midcourt over toward the sideline, made a great steal. We got something out of that. And then you talk about down in the, I'll give you another example. You guys know what a DHO, dribble handoff. So when a big has an opportunity to pass to a small, say from the top of the, say the 3-point line to a wing, if the small is denied, the big is taught to dribble handoff toward that guy, and then you come off. So it's like a screen for the small to get the ball. Well, nobody does that better than Draymond. So he faked them out because he knew they were going to double team. He kept his dribble and turned the corner and got to the free throw line. So, you know, that's a real smart, winning veteran player. And, you know, like he said last night in the post game with Gareth, hey, he loves to compete. You know, I know he's on a minutes restriction, but he loves being out there. And it just showed last night. He was great.
Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week, John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. Saint, I got to ask you about Glenn Robinson III and just what his potential fit is moving forward on this team. I mean, he's carving out a niche. To me, it's about being able to knock down shots, which he has, because you have to like the defense and the body type. I mean, how well is he fit defensively? What kind of players, in your mind, give him trouble? He's had a lot of tough assignments, as Steve Kerr's laid out, but is he somebody you could trust for 20 minutes a game, guarding other, you know, wings at a high level here moving forward?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think the key is he's inherited Klay Thompson's role. Could be a 1, could be a 2, could be a 3 that he's matched up with. And he's willingly taking the challenge. The one thing that I feel about him, he's a high character guy. And he's got a great personality. And he's smart. Smart people listen. And I think he's listening to Klay Thompson. He's listening to the scouting report. He's watching video. So he's taking this on. And it gives him a role with this team. Now, the scoring hasn't been completely consistent. I know, John, we talked about he had 1 game. I don't know. He's 0 for 10. But I don't know if you guys noticed, and this is the beauty of Steve Kerr. He comes off the floor, he puts his arm around his waist, and he basically said, hey, forget about it. You know, this was a tough night. Let's move on to the next one. And I watched Robinson and then put his arm around Steve. Well, you know, when a player knows that the coach believes in him, that just takes him to the next game with confidence. And I think he's a player right now that really likes his role. He's embracing it and doing a heck of a job. Now, is he going to be locked down like Klay? I don't know if he's there yet, but he's doing a darn solid job, and we need that.
Saint, the Warriors have done, all things considered, a pretty good job of taking care of the basketball this year. But the last three games, it's been an issue. Some of that has to do with the fact that the Bulls will blitz you and they force more turnovers than any other team. But as a coach, as a GM, what can you do here? The last three games, Warriors have been turning the ball over a lot. Obviously, that's something you wanna correct. How do you go about that?
Well, it's a lot of video. You guys know they're not going to practice a lot as we go toward the holidays. I think Steve is prudent, giving them today and tomorrow off and bring them back fresh for Memphis on Monday. But it's got to be individual and then team watching video, maybe during a shoot-around or a walkthrough, saying, hey, guys, on this play, we're not setting up to catch well, or we're not timing the guy coming off the screen well, or our angles on our passes aren't real good. And these guys can grasp that. And I think coming home, we've played 15 road games. Those three games you mentioned, Whitey, were three road games. And you can't win on the road if you keep turning the ball over. You dodged a bullet last night. And with that said, it's something, if you want to win, you've got to cut down. I know my pal Colonna, he had a magic number of 14. I don't know if they can get to that low, but if they can stay below 16, they'll give themselves a much, much better chance to win.
Saint, what are you thinking if you're David Fizdale today? Are you relieved at this point, or are you thinking, doggone it, I should have done a better job with the situation?
I don't know. You know, guys, I don't know if he could have done a better job. You guys probably know. He was an assistant here when I was GM, and what a quality guy. Holy cow. He's very, very well-respected in the league as a person and as a coach, and I got to watch it every day. Brought that great positive attitude, working one-on-one with guys, valuable as an assistant. He leaves here and he goes with Eric Spoelstra, and he got a they're very close friends. They were in each other's wedding, and but when you're in Miami, you're kind of with the Godfather. You're with Pat Riley.
Yeah,
Eric Spoelstra grew up under him, and Eric is one of the top five coaches in the league, and so you get this foundation of knowledge that he got down there after a long tenure with the Heat, and he gets the Memphis job, and then he gets this New York job. I don't know that there's much of a blemish on him. That roster, guys, just does not work. I don't know if you guys studied that, but they brought in four power forwards. I don't understand it. They lack speed, and then they don't have a defined point guard.
Yeah.
You know, they get Smith. They've got Nedelinka. They've got the guy with the hair, Elfrid Payton. I don't know. I can't figure it quite out. So I don't know that you can put it all on him, but I've been there, done that. That next day, sure, you got pride. It hurts. But you know you did your best. And it puts things in perspective. He got married a couple of years ago, and, you know, you hug your family and you said, hey, we did the best we could. We're going to move on. And other opportunities will present themselves for Fizz.
Saint, we know a lot of this year for the Warriors is about player development and player improvement. That said, which Warrior do you think has improved the most since the start of the season? I realize it may be GR3, whom you've already been talking about, but which Warrior comes to mind if I ask you which player has improved the most so far this season?
You know, those veteran guys, you just mentioned Robinson and Burks. Burks, I didn't know, had this much offense in him. And I think it's, you know, NBA players, when you give them minutes, Whitey, a lot of times they feel like, wow, it feels like a bird leaving the nest, and they're getting a chance. Well, those two guys have responded well, but I'm going to point to two of the young guys. I think that Spellman and what's our name from Boston College?
Kai Bowman.
Bowman. Those two guys, to me, from day one, we knew we could see it with passing. But those two guys, you know, I think Spellman can still get in better shape. I really do. And I love why do you talk about player development? He's made an in-season change. John and I talked about this, his three-point shot. He was trying to shoot a jump shot, and it was very flat. This is what you see on video. And then you go out and you leave the video, and you go out on the practice floor. It's like the teacher lecturing, and now we got to put it on the test, and we go out there and we work on it. And now he's got a nice rhythm to it. It's really the knees are bent, the hips are loaded, and he's a confident pick and pop guy.
Saint
Bowen to me. Go ahead, John, make your point.
No. Go ahead. I was going to jump in about something different. I'll let you finish that. I got one more for you though. When you're done.
Okay, Bowen, guys, don't you just love his toughness? I mean, you know, we got a great day of college football today. I can see him as a split end or a safety or a corner. This guy's tough. He loves the challenge of picking it up full feet, full court. Now, he had a couple games on this trip. He had been doing great with his turnovers, and he had a couple games where he had some costly ones. If he wants to stay in this league, he's got to keep those turnover numbers down. He's got to keep pressuring on defense, and then he hits the open shot and as a catalyst to your second team. But he just grown on me. You love seeing a guy like that to capitalize on an opportunity.
Final question for you, Saint. And I got to ask you, did you see what happened with Jordan Bell last night? Now, okay, so your reaction tells me you did. So I got to ask you, if you're Ryan Saunders and you're coaching the T-Wolves, are you more ticked at Chris Paul, at Scott Foster, or at Jordan Bell today?
We got to talk about all three of these guys. You guys are too young. You ever watch Leave It to Beaver? There was a guy in there named Eddie Haskell, and he was always the guy, "Hello, Mrs. Cleaver, you look beautiful today." Well, that's Chris Paul. So Chris Paul, he's a bright, had a great career, but he's always looking for a little edge, a little something, right? Complaining about this and that. So now he knows the rules. He's the union president. And Scott Foster, I don't know, maybe he's a minister or something. He just goes so much by the book. I think a referee really succeeds when he has feel and he has relationships on the floor with the players. Well, he complains. Foster goes by the rule book, and he calls the thing. And if I'm Saunders, I would have went out of my flipping mind. I just cannot believe that Foster called that. And I'm picked off at Bell if I'm that team. I really am. I thought his game was loose when he was here, and it continues to be loose. He's getting minimal minutes up there. He's saying, oh, I'm going to get a great opportunity up there. He hasn't carved any niche. And you don't want to know why? His game's too loose. I just don't have a lot of sympathy for him. But I'll tell you what, that making that call at the end of the game, to me, that's ludicrous.
So just for the...
I think it's ridiculous.
So for the record, you would have been ticked, but the game was still in doubt. So as the game was getting away from you in the overtime that you shouldn't have been in, you would have gotten ejected then, right? Let's say you get down 8 with a minute or two left.
Yeah.
You're losing your mind then because it cost you the game. But then you're going in the locker room and you're losing your mind on Jordan Bell, too.
Oh, for sure. But the only thing that keeps you cool is you got a cold one in there in the locker room to kind of cool down your temperature. In the old days, we always had the cooler full. And whenever you got thrown out, you never addressed the media. You always had your assistant do it, whoever took over. It's just crazy to me. I was home after driving from the post game in the pouring rain. And, of course, you guys probably know my son Greg is an assistant down there with the Lakers after leaving St. John's with Mully's retirement, that Mully and Mitch and Greg went on their way. And I'm just blessed to have Mully with me now, and Mitch is doing some of the Kings games. And so with that said, I get home because I want to see Greg, and he's behind the bench, and I'm watching the game. And I tell you, the Lakers are good. So now I watch the post-game show, and they show that. I was blown away. I just couldn't believe it that that happened.
And then on top of that, you allow the layup.
Jesus, how about the pass that Adams made?
Oh, man.
Did you see Schreiber? I'll talk to you guys about a subtle little thing. Did you see Schreiber kind of shield the defender? He slowed down and put him on his back so that he could have space to catch that and lay it in?
Yeah, Teague didn't know. That's a tough play for Teague. Teague didn't know. Teague was going to get called for pass interference. He didn't know what to do on that play.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah,
I was looking. I said, "This is a veteran flag. That was a great move." That was awesome.
Saint, great stuff. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again here soon.
Thanks, Saint.
Hey, you guys made my Saturday. Have a great day.
All right, the great Garrett St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Just, yeah, unbelievable. That would have been, I could just see Saint just running out onto the court in overtime. You know, you get down eight, like a minute left.
I've had enough.
Like,
I want out of here
this
anyway.
This should have been celebrating a win, getting ready to get on the plane.
So look at what a bizarre week for NBA officials. You had the blatant LeBron travel. That's not called.
James Harden
dunk. No good. Clearly it was a dunk. But yeah, you have Scott Foster giving a delay, a game warning, and a T to Jordan Bell because, your jersey's untucked.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. But I thought Saint nailed all of it, right? It's, all right, Chris Paul, you're being as our friend.
Eddie Haskell.
Our friend from New York City, Charlie, called him a Richard.
Richard Paul squared.
Chris Paul being Richard squared. You've got Jordan Bell not ready, head in the clouds, and that's been an issue for him in the past
year. He still may not know what happened.
You're ticked about that. And then Scott Foster, what the hell are you doing? And so Saint was the perfect guy to ask about those different scenarios there. So we appreciate his time as always. And you can check out the Warriors Weekly podcast as well. I do that with Saint. You can find that at 95.7 The Game. .com, .radio.com as well. Brian in Palo Alto, as we sneak in a call or two here before the top of the hour. Brian, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Brian. Oh, Brian going once. Brian, you there? No, we'll get Brian now. Get back to call in there. We made Brian wait.
Brian couldn't hang on. He was laughing too hard at what Saint had to say.
That was just, tremendous. Mm-hmm. Tremendous stuff. Warriors this week here, 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Mark Spears is going to join us coming up at 12:30. He had a great feature interview with Damian Lillard, which was tremendous. We'll get into a little bit of that and just kind of pick his brain about a lot of the things going on league-wide and with the Warriors as far as the early going of this season. If the Warriors get a win against the Bulls last night in Chicago.
I got a little bit of NBA Who Am I, if you want to play some of that, JD. It's ready to go. If you need it, we got it ready to roll today. Some tough questions.
NBA Who Am I. You gave me a little tease of that yesterday as we were getting ready for Warriors Live and Warriors Wrap-Up. So, we'll have to do that for sure between now and 1 o'clock here at 95.7 The Game. I was going to go to Brian again, and then Brian just dropped again.
Brother,
we could even put him on the... on the air, he dropped again.
Scott Foster just called Brian for delay of show.
Delay of show, Brian. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, Brian. I want to give you another shot, but, you know the old saying, fool me once.
Can't do it.
Shame on you. Fool me twice. GFY.
Well, okay. Thank you. I haven't heard it phrased that way.
Yeah. I don't mess around. I don't mess around.
Do you agree with Saint on who the most improved Warriors have been to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably put Glenn Robinson III as number one. I don't know about Burks. I think Burks is, the one thing that I wonder about Burks is I don't know, and look, others are going to have to evaluate this. Thankfully, I don't have to, but I wonder if he's thrived a little bit more just in. Hey, because somebody's got to take shots and somebody's got to score and it's less pressure.
Sure.
Whereas, does his game fit in the box of, he's only playing 12 to 15 minutes. Can you get the same kind of efficiency in a short period of time where he's taking, let's say, five or six shots as opposed to a guy that's going to be getting a lot of shots? That's maybe something we can kick around a little bit as well. We're halfway through here on a Saturday, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Including some strong reactions on the Chilton Autobody text line about Jordan Bell. We'll get into all that coming up on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.